Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Feuer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this preview edition as the undefeated Gophers attempt to stay that way this weekend when the Maryland Terrapins come to town. Now, before we get into that preview, Luke, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah. If you guys aren't aware, I imagine many of you listen to this over and over and over again, that we are sponsored by the Goal Line Club. Just to clear up any confusion from a recent podcast, the promo code for the Maryland game is SHELLED, S-H-E-L-L-E-D, and the number 5. Again, S-H-E-L-L-E-D, and the number 5. That can save you some money on the tailgates, on the game preview. It does not save you money on the tunnel team, but I do hear that that is an elite experience.
It is.
So if you want to support the football team in any meaningful monetary way, supporting the Goal Line Club is the way to do that. There's some pretty great events. Just check that out, guys. Go to their website, goallineclub.org. Okay, Ryan, like you said, this team is undefeated, but apparently there are some people that are kind of annoyed that they're undefeated because they haven't played anybody. It's pretty weird.
Oh, if I've learned anything from Saturday, it's that people on the social media, and specifically the Twitter machine, just need to be angry about something. And so when we talk about on this podcast or on Gopher Illustrated, wherever, that Minnesota's 7-0 this season for the first time since 1960. And, you put that out on the Twitter machine, you're stating a fact, and then everybody gets in a little hissy fit. Well, they haven't played anybody. And I'm like, well, yeah, but Fleck had nothing to do with that, and they won all their games that they're supposed to win, and that's what a good team does. And then you get hit back with a, well, talk to me when they play someone. Like, can we talk about how Wisconsin, we can't talk about that, how they lost as a 30-point road dog?
I think I sarcastically made a comment about that in the last podcast, but I'm
it's
not
just,
sure.
Like, the casual football fan who at least follows me, some of them, like 95%, I'll say this, are happy. And you should be. It's 7-0. You've won 9 straight. You've won 11 of your last 13. What is there to complain about? Somebody always just has something to complain about. Well, talk to me when they play a real team. They're going to in November, but before you get to a meaningful November, you have to make it meaningful, and that's by winning the games you're supposed to win, including the one this weekend. So it's wild. And then you have folks in the Maryland media calling Minnesota not, they're 7-0, but it's not dominant. And then you read what they wrote. Well, they snuck by South Dakota and Georgia Southern and Fresno. And then they just leave it there. Did we also not reflect on their last 4 weeks, Mr. Maryland guy, how they won their last 3 games by 85 freaking points? Yeah, nothing about that sound. It's just these lazy takes that have me revved up and ready to go to record a preview podcast, because I'm here for the factual information that we like to get into on this podcast. Yeah. Luke and I will give some potentially blazing hot takes at times, but at least we have reasonings behind it. Because when you question somebody's reasonings on the interweb nowadays, they just run and hide.
Here's the only thing I don't understand is I get a number of people. I somehow get tagged in these things in Twitter now, which is not exactly my favorite.
It's the worst.
This is the thing I don't understand. Tell me, can someone please define to me what a real team is? Because
or what a quote unquote good team is.
Yeah, like what is a real team and what is a good team? Because
so they played four Big Ten teams and they've played three teams in the non-conference who have since gone 11-3 since the Gophers have played them. Actually, I believe it's 11-2 since the Gophers have played them. Yet we're just gonna, you know, because they don't, they're not ranked. Like it's not Minnesota's fault. Nebraska, Illinois, Rutgers, and Purdue aren't ranked. Like Minnesota beat them. So what? It's just, you know.
Just honestly,
I'm
like
flustered.
Like hashtag. What's a real team? Like. Seriously, I don't understand. I don't understand that statement.
Like ranked teams every weekend, it wouldn't go well.
Well, hold on, but what maybe what I don't understand is maybe all the teams that they're playing aren't actually making or aren't revenue positive. So maybe that makes them not a real team. Maybe it has nothing to do with wins and losses, and it's all about revenue. Because I saw the stands at Rutgers, and I saw the stands at Illinois against Wisconsin. Maybe they're not revenue positive. Maybe that's a real team.
Maybe. I can't even with some of these people.
I could get more ridiculous with my theories on what a real team is.
I know. Like, I get that Minnesota hasn't played a ranked team yet. Trust me. We have spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about things of that nature. And there's going to be more difficult teams in November. We've talked about that, and we will continue to talk about that. But before you can get to a meaningful November for a Gopher football fan, the first time in, well, I guess just 5 years, but it feels like so much longer than that. You have to win the games you're supposed to win, Luke, and that starts this weekend with the Maryland Terrapins coming to town.
All right, so let's get to injuries real quick. Kamal Martin obviously injured. I think it would surprise many given how he came off the field if he would play, but apparently he's a game time decision. I personally am not a medical doctor. I can't speak to the severity of his injury, but just given what I've seen on television, I would not expect for him to play this week. What say you, Mr. Ryan Burns?
Yeah, that's the good news, I guess, is Fleck came out on Monday and today, or on Tuesday, I should say, and said with the media that Kamal got good news. Now, we don't know what that quote-unquote good news is.
It's probably like a real team.
You're just trying to get me revved up right now.
I know.
I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to take the bait. So Fleck came out and said that they got quote unquote good news. Now, I know I had some folks mad at me, or I guess mad at the media, saying, well, why didn't you pry further and ask him? Because we're not going to get it. Like, I can assure you, if we thought there was any chance in hell that we were going to get legitimate injury news out of him in terms of what the severity was, or literally what's the injury, we would ask that. But we know we're not going to get that. Prime example, Mo Ibrahim. Fleck said for weeks, he's out with an undisclosed injury. He's good. He's going to be back. Then he missed 4 weeks. Or Daniel Faalele last week, or the week of Nebraska, I should say. He gets taken out against Illinois, goes to the locker room. We ask him after the game, yeah, he's fine. He's good to go. We ask him Tuesday, how's Faalele? Yeah, he's fine. He's good to go. And then he knows full and well Faalele never practiced that week. So Fleck says he's a game-time decision. I think you can hear what my opinion would be of that, especially with a bye week coming next week and then Penn State after that. I would be shocked if the guy who got carted off the field is now going to be playing meaningful football 7 days later. I would rather he not play this weekend, and then 14 days later it's the bye, and then 3 weeks later, 21 days since that injury occurred, it's Penn State. I'd rather he's as close to 100% for that game than this game this weekend. Now, the other injury notes are that Ko Keith and Jake Paulson, Minnesota's two starting tight ends, Ko missed with a concussion. Jake Paulson missed with a shoulder injury. Both did not play against Rutgers. Ko did not travel. Sounds like they're both going to be ready to go for this weekend, which getting your two starting tight ends back, that's pretty good. And on the Maryland side of things, we'll get into this tonight, their starting quarterback, Josh Jackson, who is a Virginia Tech graduate transfer quarterback. Sounds like he is practicing in full, apparently, after a high ankle sprain he suffered a few weeks back. And then there's stud tailback Anthony McFarland, a really, really good player. Really good player. I mean, we saw that last year when Minnesota played Maryland, and he was one of the guys running all up and down the field on this Golden Gopher defense. He missed last week's game with a high ankle sprain. Sounds like he's also somehow now 100% along with Josh Jackson ready to go. So I would think there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on between Mike Locksley and PJ Fleck. I would be shocked if 2-3 weeks removed from a high ankle sprain that Josh Jackson is somehow now 100% and ready to go for Minnesota. Yeah, unless your name is Saquon Barkley and you have superhuman genetics and you have round-the-clock care that I'm sure the New York Giants gave him, that's how you get back on the field. And with McFarland and Jackson coming back, I think expectations for how, quote-unquote, 100% they are should be tapered a little bit. But McFarland especially is a very good player, and I expect him to factor into the mix this weekend, Luke.
All right, so depth chart. It's about as
good
as...
Kamal Martin is still listed on there as the starter.
Yeah. Which,
if you're PJ Fleck, I get the gamesmanship once again. There is nothing different on the depth chart from last week. Kamal is still listed as the starter. I know I got some questions about, well, Axel Rushmeyer's on there now. What does that mean for Austin Beier? I would tell you that I don't put really any stock into who the number twos and some of the number ones are on that depth chart. They put that out so that the other team sees it, not even the media. Trust me, we in the Gopher media don't pay much attention to it at all, but once again, Martin's still listed on it, and I still think that, I mean, even last week, Kokeef and Jake Paulson listed on it as starters, and they didn't play, and they hadn't practiced. So we'll see. That's about the biggest thing is we'll find out at 1:45 on Saturday afternoon when the Gophers take the field, who's dressed, who's not, and even then, we had weeks and weeks of Mo Ibrahim being dressed, going through warm-ups, and then he didn't take the field, so... We'll kind of play it by ear as we always do on Saturday afternoon.
Did I miss anything before we go to offense? I've been busy trying to Google search what a real team is, so.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it. No, you did not, Luke. I will say this before we get to the offense.
You took the bait. I love it.
Before we get to the offensive side of the ball, this is going out, obviously, Thursday morning. I will say for Gopher Illustrated purposes, I somehow got convinced by HQ at 24/7 to do one more sale. Now, the first two have gone so successfully that they want to do one more, which, hey, I'm for it. I'm all for new people getting into Gopher Illustrated. So by the time you probably listen to this on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, whenever that is, we are going to do a 3 months for the price of one sale on Gopher Illustrated. What does that mean? That means 90 days. So that gets you through the rest of the football season. You get to go all the way through the first national signing day in December where Minnesota is going to sign all of their guys. And then that gets you into late January as well. So you're into Patino's Big Ten season as well. That's all, Luke, for 20 nickels, 100 pennies, 10 dimes, 4 quarters, 90 days of Gopher Illustrated for a buck. If you have been waiting for a sign, a signal, a smoke signal, a carrier pigeon to say, hey, this is probably the moment to do it, I don't know what else I can do to convince you. They're 7-0 for the first time in 59 years. We'll get into the stats a little bit later, but if they win this weekend, it's the first time in nearly 70 years. If you aren't excited about a Gopher football team and you want to see more behind-the-scenes stuff, Gopher Illustrated for me is the place. That's where I put all my hard work into it. And I think if you're listening to this still for some ungodly reason, I think you know Luke and I, we know what we're talking about a little bit, and we get into it more in depth behind the paywall, especially as recruiting season gets going here into November, early December. I don't know what I got to tell you. All I can tell you is PJ Fleck is 7-0, and that means he is trying to win some recruiting battles behind the scenes right now and try to have a very, very interesting December for official visits. Now, if you want to know those names, we'll get into that as National Signing Day gets closer, but I think you can ask a Gopher Illustrated member if they think it's worth it. I can about assure you they do, and especially when the barrier to entry, Luke, is 100 pennies for 90 days, essentially a cent a day. If you can't afford that, I think we need to be having different discussions with you. But let's get into the offense, Luke. 3 months for the price of one on Gopher Illustrated. We'll have it pinned up on gopherillustrated.com if you want to learn more details. But if you are on the fence and you want to become a new member, there will not be a better time to join.
All right, so when the Gophers are on offense, they will be facing a Maryland defense that is allowing 25.7 points per game on the season. They're giving up 413 yards of total offense, 287 through the air, 126 on the ground. Woo! Might be a good day to throw. Let's hope the wind's not too much. So defensively, Ryan, what do we expect to see out of Maryland?
We expect to see a team that, when they've faced Power 5 competition, especially here in Big Ten play, has struggled very, very mightily. I mean, you look at the last 2 weeks alone, it hasn't gone well for the Maryland defense. They've played Indiana and Purdue. This is the same Purdue team that Minnesota played, same quarterback without Rondale Moore, and Purdue put up 40 points on them. And last week at home, Indiana goes on the road to Maryland, puts up 34 points. We'll get into it more in depth a little bit later, but why is this Maryland defense struggling so mightily right now? It's chunk plays. They are giving up and hemorrhaging chunk plays left and right now. Now, that sounds like that fits right into what is supposedly not a dominant Gopher football team. It is one that has had a lot of chunk plays here in Big Ten play, whether it's in the running game, whether it's through Bateman, Johnson, Ottman Bell. This seems to, on paper, go, or on paper anyway, this game looks to set up real nicely for Minnesota. Maryland has two sacks in their last two games. Minnesota has given up one sack in their last three. So if you're telling me Tanner Morgan's going to have a clean pocket to throw in, and Minnesota's going to have success on the ground and through the air, I would probably be likely to tell you Minnesota's going to put up 30-plus points for the umpteenth straight game, Luke.
Yeah, when you look at Penn State,
they're a good team, and I can't factor them in, you know?
Yeah, well, they're a real team, Ryan. But when you look at specifically Maryland, they are 1-3 in the Big Ten. Their lone win coming against Rutgers, which is historically bad, as we learned last week.
Rutgers is a bad football team, by the way. Rutgers tangent. Rutgers plays Liberty this weekend at home.
Right.
Do you know what the line is for that game? I saw that today.
No.
From Daniel House and Chip Scroggins. They both told me, look at that line. Take a guess what it is. So Rutgers is at home facing something called Liberty Flames.
That's a sweet name.
I know, right?
Just based on that name, I'm going to give them...
this is the first of many stats.
Liberty is going to be favored. I'm going to give them three.
Liberty is a 7.5-point favorite against Rutgers. And Rutgers is paying them $1 million to come there. Imagine just what a terrible football program Rutgers is. But here nor there, Luke, we're getting off on tangents.
Okay. Well, I was just going to look and see where they were ranked, where Liberty was ranked in the S&P, but okay, I won't.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make was, when you look at the Big Ten play for the Maryland defense, outside of giving up 7 points to Rutgers, they've given up 59 points against Penn State, 40 against Purdue, and 34 against Indiana, all in losses. Not good. Not good.
Not great, but we'll get into that a little bit more in my keys to the game here coming up. All I can say is, for the teams that they have played in Big Ten play that aren't named Penn State and aren't named Rutgers, you have one end of the spectrum where I don't think necessarily Minnesota's at a Penn State level right now. That might be a little bit of a hot take that folks might get mad at me about, but I think Minnesota's got an opportunity to play really, really well in 2 weeks. And then Rutgers is arguably the worst college football team in all of Division I football right now. If you kind of take the outliers out and put two teams that I think Minnesota's a little bit better at offensively, than Purdue and Indiana. The results have not been kind to the Terrapins in their last two games, which also have been their last 2 weeks.
All right. So real quickly, another word from our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. So if you are thinking about checking out any of the previews or tailgates, again, Sheld 5 for Maryland. And I also want to promote, since we're going to be coming up on the Penn State game, and I think things will be really, really popular for that. That promo code will be Bell5. The preview events allegedly are elite. I haven't been able to make one yet. I'm going to make this one this week. Ryan, you said that it's as good an insider awesome. Experience as you can
it
get.
It is. It's an insider experience. And this week they're going to have corners coach Rod Chance be breaking down all 22 film of his cornerbacks. So you're looking at Coney Durr, Benjamin St. Juice. We're playing really, really well right now. Well, I'm sure Rod Chance is going to be able to show you why he believes they're playing so well right now. And then the guest speaker is going to be the CEO of Gopher Football, which is Heather Fleck, PJ's wife, is going to be there giving you maybe some insider info about what her husband is like when the headset's not on. I'm probably going to tell you he's the same person because that's been all my experiences with him. But being able to hear her experiences of PJ Fleck with her, obviously PJ being her husband, and then Rod Chance being there to break down the all 22 of why Minnesota's corners are so good, I think it sounds like an elite opportunity to go to Jack's Cafe, Luke.
And I do want to touch on the tailgate real quick. As you're listening to it, there's a good chance that the Maryland tailgate might already be sold out. If you're listening to this, hurry up and sign up if you want to participate in that. Otherwise, I think that the Penn State one will likely sell out as well. So make sure you get in on that. I know they're working to try to get as much space as possible in Williams Arena. It is a great experience. It's a great tailgate. So make sure you check out that.
Great experience, great location, yes. Strong adult beverages, unlimited adult beverages, an elite Tony's Diner catering experience with Insomnia cookies. I don't know better. What else we can. I mean, it doesn't get much better for what you're paying there.
All right, so let's talk real quick about when the Gophers are on defense. Maryland is pretty high scoring team. 35.6 points per game. They average 430 yards on the ground, 223 through the air, 207 on the ground. Not a bad showing for their offense, as we kind of noted already. Probably their Achilles heel is their defense thus far through what is this, 7 games. But what should we expect from the Maryland offense when the Gophers are on defense, Ryan?
It's not going to be much different than what you saw the last 2 years. And what I mean by that is, yes, the scheme's going to be different, but Maryland's going to try to do two things. They're going to try to run the ball very effectively, and they're going to try to big play you. And that's where Maryland's offense rides and dies, is with the big play. They have a terrible time sustaining drives that end in scoring drives. Now, they have scored points, as Luke's mentioned, but that's all courtesy of the big play, essentially. So Minnesota the last couple of years against Maryland, what's been the Achilles heel? It's been stopping the run. Last year alone, they gave up 315 rushing yards in that route at Maryland, where Maryland's offense put up 35 points without running a single play from the red zone. Sounds like they ran the ball very effectively, and they big played the hell out of Minnesota's defense. Now, the last two games Minnesota and Maryland have played, in 17 and 18, Maryland has combined to rush for 577 rushing yards. That seems like it needs to go down if Minnesota is going to remain undefeated this weekend. Now, the interesting part about it is what Maryland does well is run the ball, and they get a lot of big plays. What has Joe Rossi's defense done really well so far in Big Ten play so far? They're stopping the run, and they're limiting big plays. So it's going to be a battle of wills there, because what Joe Rossi wants to do is exactly what Maryland wants to do as an offense. Now, we'll get into whether it's Tyrell Pigram, whether it's Josh Jackson, a quarterback, how does that change things? But this is an offense, if I can't stress it enough, they are going to ride and die by the big play. I'll get into the statistics here in my keys to the game, but you'll see that if Minnesota can make Maryland go 8, 10, 12 plays to get points, that's probably going to bode well for Minnesota, because Maryland, against Power 5 competition this year, has really struggled to do that.
All right, Ryan. So before we get to your keys to the game, I think it's very important that we get your thoughts on our newest advertiser, Burns Insurance. I hear that he is an individual that's very close to you, actually.
Sources would tell me, and I don't want anybody to tell anybody else this, that sources would tell me the Burns Insurance Agency may or may not be owned by my father, Bill Burns. And he once again wants to congratulate the Big Ten West leading Golden Gopher football team on a 7-0 start and potentially moving to 8-0 for the first time in many years. Now, just like the Gophers continue to average nearly 475 yards of offense, the Burns Insurance Agency routinely saves their clients that amount on their home or auto insurance. His many commercial and business insurance accounts are averaging nearly three times that, Luke. We're talking $1,500 to $2,000 of savings a year with better coverage. Now, Luke, are you a person who hates money and having a lot of money in your wallet?
Yes, I hate
it. Or under your mattress or in your bank account?
Yeah, I do hate it.
Well, this isn't for you, because if you want to save money, if you want a free quote, and you want to have better insurance in case something happens, you should check out insurancebyburns.com. He is a local independent insurance agent in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota, just 25 minutes east of Minneapolis. For those of you who don't know where Oakdale is, they are Woodbury's poor neighbor to the north. So he's local, he is a diehard Gopher fan, and he wants to make sure that he's saving you, a Golden Gopher football fan, money on your insurance. So if you want to learn more about it, go to insurancebyburns.com.
I know I'm killing this bit. Do you think he insures only real teams?
Let's get to the keys of the game.
Ryan, what are your keys to the game this week, Ryan?
All right, let's get to my number one key, or my first key, that is, anyway. And that needs to be limiting the chunk plays for Maryland's offense and then making the quarterback beat you with his arm. Now, injuries have not been kind to Maryland this year. Their starting quarterback in Virginia Tech graduate transfer Josh Jackson was knocked out of their game against Rutgers a couple weeks ago because of a high ankle sprain. He has yet to return, while their starting running back Anthony McFarland did not practice last week at all, according to Mike Locksley, or play against Indiana last weekend because of his own high ankle sprain. Now, news broke on Tuesday that Mike Locksley said, hey, yeah, they're both 100% now. They're practicing in full. They're expected to return this weekend. So you go from Anthony McFarland did not practice at all last week to try and rest that high ankle to now he's 100% off a high ankle sprain after 1 week of rest. Good googly moogly, Luke. This guy must have some superior genetics that and treatment that I don't know about, because high ankles can usually be up to, and if not more than, a month. But regardless of who's playing this weekend, Minnesota has to do the two things they were absolutely putrid at in this game last year, and that's stop the run and limit big plays. It's been a motto for defensive coordinator Joe Rossi's defense in 2019, but it killed Rob Smith's unit 1 year ago. I mentioned this earlier, but Maryland's offense put up 35 points without running a single play from the red zone, and they absolutely eviscerated the Gophers on the ground for 315 yards in a row. Now, both teams are much different than they are last year, especially in the way that they're playing coming into this game. Maryland has lost four of their last five, with their lone win being over Rutgers, while Minnesota has won nine straight. Looking at this 2019 offense for Maryland, Luke, if the Gophers are going to win on Saturday, Rossi has to make them sustain drives to score points. I talked about it. Maryland's offense lives off the big play. In their last two games against Indiana and Purdue, they have six scoring drives. One of those was over seven plays, and that was an eight-play scoring drive to start the game last week. Against FBS teams this year, Maryland has two, count them, two scoring drives of nine plays or more. That's
Whoa.
It.
Whoa.
That is it. They ride and die by that big play. So if Joe Rossi can make them drive 8, 10, 12 plays to get points, that's how you know it's going to be a good day for Minnesota's defense. Now, Maryland blasted them each of the last 2 years in the ground. It's why Minnesota lost the game, among other things. They've combined to rush for 577 rushing yards in the last two meetings. You can see why you can see why the Gophers, if they're going to remain undefeated, this has to be a probably a pretty important part of their game plan offensively, and that's stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
The primary running back the last 2 weeks has been a young man by the name of Javon Leak, and he has been decimating defenses. He's averaging nearly 8 yards per carry on his last 30 touches. That's pretty dang explosive to me, Luke, and where Minnesota struggled in last year's meeting specifically was in their secondary with open field tackling. Minnesota's done well in that area of late, but Leak and McFarland are the best running backs that Rossi has faced since Reggie Corbin, in my mind. And Leak and McFarland this year have a combined 14 rushing touchdowns and are averaging nearly 7 yards a carry between them. So if Minnesota can tackle better in the open field and do a much better job at setting the edge, especially with motion, they should have improved defensive performances against this Terrapin team. Now, two things here. The run fit with either a hobbled Kamal Martin, if you believe he's going to play this weekend, or a new linebacker in his first career start in Mariano Sorry-Marin or Braylon Oliver, they have to be on point this weekend. I will also say, and this is the only time I am going to mention it, Luke, this is also the Antoine Winfield game.
Yes.
The last 2 years, Antoine Winfield has gone down in this game with non-contact season-ending injuries. Now, if you can't hear this, it is me knocking on wood to hope that Minnesota's skilled member of the secondary can stay healthy for an entire Maryland game. Now, let's get to the quarterback position for Maryland, Luke. And with Josh Jackson returning to practice this week, that gives them two options. Option A is Tyrell Pigram, who I feel like has been there forever. I believe Tracy Clay has played against him. And now Fleck's been here 3 years, and it feels like Pigram has been here about 15. So Pigram has started the last 2 weeks for Maryland, and he is as mobile of a signal caller as Minnesota has faced this season. Just 2 weeks ago against Purdue, he took a bootleg 61 yards to the house. He's not afraid to scramble if protection breaks down around him, and you have to make sure that you contain him in the pocket to make him beat you with his arm. He is very inconsistent from throw to throw. One throw, he will look like Patrick Mahomes. And the next one, he will look like everybody's favorite third-string backup quarterback. It is very inconsistent. So if you can get pressure on him with just four guys, that allows a linebacker or a safety to spy him and keep their eyes on him to make sure that he can make sure that Pigram stays in the pocket. Now, if it is Josh Jackson, who is the starter to start the season, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I hope it is because it's a different story with him. Josh Jackson wants to stick in the pocket. He's not a mobile quarterback to begin with. He's got negative 28 rushing yards on the year. He's got a long rush of 12 on the year. He's a guy who was mobile coming out of high school. I remember that Jim Zabrowski was recruiting him for Jerry Kill back in the day. He had some athleticism. He still does, but he wants to do that in the pocket. And now he's coming off a high ankle sprain. So you're telling me already not a mobile quarterback this season, maybe more statuesque in the pocket because of a high ankle? I'm okay with that because against FBS competition this year, Josh Jackson is completing under 50% of his passes for an average of 180 yards per game with 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So against FBS competition, Josh Jackson is not completing more than 50% of his throws. Now on the road, where he has faced Rutgers and Temple. Rutgers is a terrible team, and I'd say Temple is above average. Josh Jackson is completing 44% of his passes with 3 passing touchdowns and an interception. Josh Jackson has also taken 11 sacks in his 4 FBS starts, while Tyrell Pigram has taken just 4 sacks in 2 games. So you still have to worry about their stud receiver, Dante Demas, who is, for my money, probably the best receiver Minnesota's played so far this year. And I'm excited to see what Coney Durr and Benjamin St. Juste and Keandre Thomas can do against him. But I would be a little bit more worried about Demas if Josh Jackson is back there because he is a little bit more consistent with his arm. So Jackson isn't a big runner. He's a few weeks off of a high ankle. I really don't see him taking off much if he's back there taking the snaps. So if Minnesota can limit the Maryland running backs and make the quarterback sustain drives and beat them with their arm, I think things ought to go much better for Minnesota this time around. Now, my second key, Luke, you have to remain an explosive and dynamic offense. In the last 2 weeks against an Indiana and Purdue offense, so Purdue's backup quarterback, Jack Plummer, was in, and then last week against Indiana, Indiana's starting quarterback actually went down and their backup came in. this Maryland defense is averaging 37 points against them. Why, you may ask me, Luke? Well, it's the chunk play. Can you guess, Luke, how many chunk plays the Terrapin defense has allowed in their last two games?
Oh, only two games. So let's see. So you take two, you multiply it by three, that's six, and then you add three for good measure, nine.
What does that add up to, Luke? How many chunk plays has Maryland allowed in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, nine total.
33.
Wow, wasn't even close.
33 different chunk plays. Now, I define chunk as a 15-plus yard passing play or a 10-plus yard running play. That's 33 different in the last 2 weeks alone. 21 of those, have come through the air, which means 12 on the ground. Minnesota's offense in their last two games has generated 22 chunk plays, 8 through the air, 14 on the ground. Now, Maryland, why are they so inconsistent on defense? It's because they lost their top corner for the year earlier this month when Tino Ellis went down, and they also have some other injuries back there. So you're dealing with a young and inexperienced secondary. That should make you feel pretty decent about the chances that Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, and Chris Ottman-Bell could have big days at home on Saturday. Indiana's two quarterbacks and Jack Plummer combined to pass for 377 yards per game while completing over 75% of their passes with five touchdowns and an interception. Maryland's defense also has two sacks in their last two games. So on paper, Luke, it's going to be a cleaner pocket than usual for Tanner Morgan on Saturday, and that should pay dividends for this Gopher passing game. But oh, wait, there's more. When you look at the run defense for Maryland, once again in their last two games against Indiana and Purdue, they are allowing 5.4 yards per carry to running backs. But the way that Minnesota's three backs are playing right now, plus the offensive line, you should also remain optimistic about the Gophers' chances to find a running game on Saturday. The way that this Kirk Soraka offense is rolling right now in Big Ten play, I would say it's pretty dominant. Some others would not. They have scored a 154 points in their last four Big Ten games, which is the most they have scored since what year in their first four games, Luke?
Well, 1944.
1916. It's been 103 years since Minnesota has scored that many points in their first four Big Ten games.
Shout out Tibbetts.
Yeah, shout out to my guy, Ryan Tibbetts in the Minnesota SID football department. Fantastic guy and even better beard. So if Minnesota is going to come away victorious, they have to continue up with that torrid pace. They need to score 30-plus points. And I would also love to see a less vanilla game plan than we saw against Rutgers. And one more along the lines of Nebraska and Illinois. Because on paper, this is a fantastic matchup for the Gopher offense, which leaves us with my final key to the game, Luke. Can you imagine what I might want to talk about?
It probably is pretty special and it has to do with the team.
My third key is literally titled Special Teams, Please.
Special Teams,
Please.
Special Teams, Please.
I'm going to keep talking about this as my final key until it's fixed. Maybe it's a pride thing at this point, but the painful reality is it's still the truth. So we got to keep talking about it.
Right.
Now, according to Bill Conley's S&P, which rates the offense, the defense, and the special teams, Minnesota special teams rank is the 88th best in the country. That's below average. Well, not to be outdone, Maryland special teams come in as the third worst in all of FBS football, 127th out of 130. So on the analytical side of things anyway, it should be an area where Minnesota has an advantage. But regardless, I continue to dedicate far too much time to special teams on these preview podcasts each week. But I'm not asking for much. I'm asking for one clean week. No missed extra points, no missed field goals inside of 40 yards. We'll even put a disclaimer on it. 40 yards and in, that should be pretty okay. No kickoffs out of bounds, no shank punts, no long returns on kickoff or punt, and no block kicks. None of that. Just one clean week, Rob Wenger. One clean week, because if your units continue to touch the stove each and every week, eventually, it's going to burn the entire team, and it's going to result in a loss. So let's hope that Wenger's group can change their best and have their best performance of the season at TCF Bank Stadium on Saturday, Luke.
All right. So since I was so distracted, still trying to figure out what a real team is, I forgot to go over the betting line. So we'll do that quickly before we get to the predictions. Currently, the Gophers sit as a 17-point favorite. We're recording this on a Tuesday night. That could move with the injury news. The over-under is 56.5. That's what I see. I don't know if you see something different, Ryan. So the Gophers are a fairly heavy favorite, in my opinion, maybe a little more than I would have expected, but,
yeah, it's a little bit, especially with McFarland playing. I don't think the Josh Jackson news moves the needle that much. Again, sure, potential hot take, but getting a dynamic playmaker back in Anthony McFarland means something to me anyway.
All right. So real quick, look at the weather too. That's important, because, you know, this is an outdoor stadium and, you know, and weather impacts football in a significant way. It looks like around kickoff, you should expect somewhere around 56 degrees, and that'll actually move up throughout game time, peaking around 4 p.m. at 58, 59, and then probably about game end around 6, it'll be about 55, so a beautiful day.
So it's 60 and sunny. Yeah. Or a 7-0 undefeated Gopher football team. Did I hear that right?
You did hear that right. I think the other important thing to kind of hit on real quick, though, is it looks like around kickoff, the wind will be somewhere around, let's see, probably about 12 miles an hour. And it's actually going to die as the game goes on. And it should finish, you know, somewhere around 6 p.m., somewhere in the about 7-mile-an-hour range. So not a huge factor, but definitely early. It could play a little bit more of a factor than it does late. So something to keep an eye on there. The sun will set about 6:11. So, you know, if you're worried about walking around the dangerous streets of Minneapolis at night, bring a flashlight. It's going to be dark.
All right. So 60 degrees at kickoff and sunny for a late October undefeated Gopher football team at home. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, and for those duck hunters, sunrise is at 7:44 a.m. So you got a half hour before that. Well, that's about 7:15. I know I'm not bow hunting.
I'm thinking
Guernsey
about the tree stand by now.
Oh well.
I need south winds to get in my best stand. I know no one cares, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I need south winds to get in like my three best stands.
Yeah, no one cares.
And the only south wind day coming up is on Saturday, and that's when work is. So
yeah,
you can imagine I'm thrilled that there were no south winds here during the week.
Yeah,
but
no one
before
cares.
We get into the prediction, Luke, I want to make sure that Ryan Tibbetts knows that people are actually getting infatuated with his stats. So we're going to play everybody's favorite game. Luke, how many years are you off by?
Minnesota
has won 9 straight games. When was the last time, Luke, they had a 9-game winning streak?
Well, let's see. It probably goes back to when Sid Hartman started writing for
the
newspaper.
GM of the Minneapolis Lakers at that time, Luke?
Well, he's probably the GM of the Minneapolis Lakers. So probably 19, and it wasn't the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He probably only worked for the Star. I'm not actually sure. He could have worked for the Tribune as well. I'm going to go 1944.
You were close. It's 1941. It has been 78 years since Minnesota last had a 9-game winning streak. All right. So Minnesota 7-0 for the first time since 1960. They are 4-0 for the first time since in the Big Ten.
4-0. Let's see. Probably Glenn Mason was probably the coach. So I'm going to go 2001.
That would be incorrect. It's 1967.
Seriously? 4-0
start in the Big Ten since 1967. If Minnesota wins this weekend, they are 5-0 in conference play for the first time since 1967.
Mace must have played some real teams.
Mm-hmm. So if Minnesota wins on Saturday as well, they are 8-0 on the season. The last time they were 8-0 is? We already talked about this date. You were very close earlier.
Oh, 1906?
1941.
41.
In that 1941 season, Minnesota was named the national championships.
I don't pay attention, obviously.
So if Minnesota wins this weekend, it is the first time in 78 years they have started 8-0.
So when you get these emails from Tibbetts, are they bullet points or is he more like a numbers guy?
These are in the things you need to know that they released to the media. I think they also put them out on the Twitter machine, on the Facebook machine, but I want to make sure that people are actually reading these to kind of put things in context for those who are like, well, yeah, Minnesota sucks. They haven't beat anyone. okay, well, Minnesota's been mediocre for quite a long time, so let us have one nice thing, please.
Mm-hmm.
One nice thing. One nice thing. Try to think if I have any more for you. One was, no, we won't get into that. So let's get into our prediction and get people out of here. I'm sure they're like, I want to get out of my car. I've been sitting at the gym. I'm sitting at home. My wife or this weird, creepy guy in the parking lot is looking at me funny. Just give me your prediction so I can get out of here.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe we should pause on that. Do we want to talk about, you know, some hype, some theories on, you know, how good things could be towards the end of the season for the Gophers? Or is that just jinxing things?
No, let's let it get to a potential 8-0 start first, and then we can start talking about hypotheticals this upcoming weekend.
All right.
When
all right.
We can it talk. Could be a very, very interesting time in the Big Ten West.
All right.
I haven't told you this already. Wisconsin plays Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah.
Iowa plays on the road at Northwestern. If Wisconsin loses to Ohio State and Minnesota wins, the Gophers have a 2-game lead in the Big Ten West going into the final 4 games of November.
You always want a larger sample size. Okay, so let's see. I'll go first because I prepared so much information for my preview that I had a bunch of points to make. So... let's see. I'm going to take the Gophers 35 to 27.
Okay. Before I get into my prediction, one last plug. I think I'm going to go through some of these reviews that we get and we ask for. So if you want me to actually read your review, I would recommend putting it in here this week because I think I'm going to go through them and see what your feedback actually is, how we can improve the podcast. Whether it's 1-star, 4-star, or 5-star, we just want to know your feedback. And I can promise we're going to read it here in the next week, especially going into the bye week. So if you haven't already, please go to whatever podcasting form you found us at, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and leave us a review because it helps other Gopher football fans find us. And if you have a Gopher football casual fan, the person you sit next to at the stadium, maybe your coworker in the office and they're excited about Gopher football. Well, then tell them about the podcast. It's
just
free.
Just real quick. You don't use Spotify, do you?
No, I'm not one of those millennials, Luke. I'm sure you are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So many curated playlists.
My better half, she uses Spotify.
I listen to my Discover Weekly first thing every single Monday. So yeah, absolutely. And you cannot leave a rate or review. So those people that use Spotify on the regular, hit up Ryan on the Twitter machine. Please don't tag me because I don't want all your garbage mentions.
Yeah. Just give me a star rating and we can go from there. So my prediction for this game is getting Anthony McFarland back. The Maryland running back is a bigger boost than Josh Jackson to me for the reasons I already laid out. Ultimately, this game comes down to this. Can Minnesota's defense limit the big plays and stop Maryland on the ground? Can they do that for the first time in the PJ Fleck era? If they can, it's going to be a double-digit home win. If they can't, it's going to be dicey, and the Gopher offense is going to have to shoulder a lot more of the load. So Minnesota's offense should be able to break some plays, big plays in any way, through the air and on the ground. And if the turnovers and special teams don't kill Minnesota this week, I see the Gophers grabbing their 10th consecutive victory, which is wild for me to say, and I see an 8-0 start for the first time since 1941-42. The Gophers emerge victorious 34-24.
All right, so we want to thank everybody for listening. Per usual, we really appreciate all you that listen. We have a ton of fun making this, even if I have awful sarcastic jokes and I never give up on trying to figure out what a real team is. Thank you for listening over and over and over again. We appreciate it so much, and go Gophers.
The greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.